You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 26th of February. We're in a pledge drive. We are going to momentarily be speaking with Gwen Ifill. I know many of you watch her fairly regularly on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. She's also the moderator and managing editor of Washington Week. She has an illustrious journalism background. We will give you a full bio of her, and we have so much to talk about. We'll talk about the quality of journalism today. We'll be looking at a number of the issues that she brought up on her show, which you probably saw over the weekend. Iraq, of course, the presidential campaign, the remarkable story, and we picked up on this as well, Dana Priest's series in the Washington Post on conditions in the outpatient buildings at Walter Reed. I mean, there's a piece of journalism that is just a terrific piece of journalism because it the aftermath of that was that those buildings were cleaned up somewhat, but it also pointed to how we care for our soldiers once they return from being very much in harm's way and who have given, you know, limbs in some cases. So that was a big story. We'll ask her about that. And, you know, a number of other issues. Gwen Ifill will be joining us momentarily. We are in a pledge drive, and we want to let you know that you can call and pledge. The number this hour, as always for our pledge, is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or WPR.org, WPR.org. And we had a great hour last hour. Thank you so much for your calls. We had 66, probably even more than that, of you called, and I'm so happy to hear that. We're linking up with Gwen in just a moment. Bill Estes is joining me in our studios.
Hi, Kathleen.
Our manager. Hi, Bill.
Wasn't that a fun hour?
Yeah, it was a great hour.
Over 66 people, or more than 66 people, called in last hour, pledged their support to Wisconsin Public Radio to help this programming like this continue. We're in the midst of our February-March pledge drive, and we appreciate every pledge that has come in, and we appreciate the calls coming in this morning as well. This is the fastest, easiest, most direct way for Wisconsin Public Radio to turn to you, the listeners, and ask you to help pay for this service. Our average pledge is about $120, but we've had pledges this morning that range from $10 up to $1 a day and above that. Make the decision to help support this programming service and then call our volunteers and make the pledge. Easily done at 800-383-9772.
We have an unusual thank you for people this hour, which Rhonda will explain because I don't understand it in all its complexity.
Yes, well,
because it's kind of technical.
A pledge this hour of $100 or more will get you a list of Kathleen Dunn's most favorite programs from listeners. These is a list of 10 programs that were the most downloaded by listeners to their computers, MP3 devices, and the list includes, and you'll also receive with the list, a coupon redeemable for the radio store for a CD copy of any of Kathleen's programs. It doesn't have to be one that's on the list. It can be anything that you've heard. It could be anything that you're going to hear. You can get this coupon.
Great.
You can keep it. When you hear a show you like, call and get your free CD.
Yeah,
at
WPR.org, you can pledge your support, of course, but you can also listen and download programs right to your home computer or your little MP3 device. And we've selected the top 10, put it on a list, just so you know the sorts of things that Kathleen Dunn has, and it also will give you a pretty good sampling of CDs that you can purchase with this special coupon. And that at
$100
or more, make that call right now, 800-383-9772.
Thanks, Rhonda. Thanks, Bill. Gwen Ifill is with us now. Gwen is the moderator and managing editor of Washington Week, senior correspondent for the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. She has moderated many debates in national elections. And before coming to PBS, she spent 5 years as NBC News, at NBC News, as chief congressional and political correspondent. Covered political stories affecting the nation, including national political campaigns and conventions, legislation before Congress, and the impeachment of President Clinton. She joined NBC News from the New York Times, where she covered the White House and politics. She's also covered national and local affairs for the Washington Post, the Baltimore Evening Sun, the Boston Herald, American. I love this quote about her. She says, "I always knew I wanted to be a journalist, and my first love was newspapers, but public broadcasting provides the best of both worlds, combining the depth of newspapering with the immediate impact of broadcast television. We're very happy to have her with us now and to welcome phone calls for Gwen as well. The number is 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 227-2050, 414-227-2050. Hello, Gwen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen. Happy to be here.
I'm so happy you highlighted, and I thought one of the biggest stories that came out of last week was what happened with the Washington Post. On so many levels, it's a very large story, isn't it, of those outpatient facilities at Walter Reed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it's a huge story. It's a huge story about journalism as well as about war and the costs of war and about what we mean when we say we support the troops.
Mm-hmm.
As for many of your listeners know, Dana Priest and Ann Hull, two reporters from the Washington Post, spent 4 months talking to families of wounded soldiers at Walter Reed Army Medical Center here in Washington and discovered what happens after you get out of the immediate care. Basically, the outpatient care is so lacking. They're put up in substandard housing. They are caught up in the bureaucracy of trying to get the kind of disability support they need. And it was a tragedy, the stories. It's really heartrending. And so Dana Priest is one of our regulars on Washington Week and came on and talked about that. One of the weirdest things that never happens in Washington was the newspaper wrote a story and the Pentagon backtracked and immediately tried to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Usually there's a lot more time spent denying the problem than fixing it. So I think that it was a very valuable story because it actually told the story of individuals and not just about a bureaucracy.
And it indicated what the press can do, didn't it? Particularly, I know, and you're in television, particularly what television can do. You saw those images, and by golly, the big brass was there right away making sure that people were scraping mold off the walls.
Yeah. You cannot argue with the evidence of your eyes. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? That's the line goes.
Mm.
Once you see the actual mold on the walls and the holes in the ceiling, and you see the faces of these severely wounded and
injured
people, you just cannot help but be drawn to their cause. These are not folks who are ideologues. They are not anti-war marchers. They're people who gave this amazing sacrifice and can't get their bills paid, can't get any guarantees of a decent life. And it's heartbreaking because these are not folks who are career complainers. They have been trying to do the right thing, and they didn't feel like they had an option or an out to explain what they were lacking. And that's where journalism steps in and tells the story.
Right. You also spent quite a bit of time talking about Iraq, which I'm sure you have for a long time now, many years, and some substantial developments of the Coalition of the Willing, which is shrinking. This will be an American war pretty much exclusively in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I think that when we heard what happened with the British pull out this week, or the 20% reduction in British forces, is the first time we've actually been able to take a long look at whatever happened to that Coalition of the Willing, and that it doesn't exist, and that once you get past the number of British troops left after this proposal, which is about 5,500, the United States has 140,000, then you jump down next on the list to South Korea, which has about 2,300, which is about to be cut in half by April. And after that, nobody more than 1,000 troops. Down to Slovenia, which has 4 troops. It's really remarkable how much of an American war this is completely.
You also spent some time, and I have a feeling as soon as I mention Hillary, our phones will be crowded with people who want to talk about her. But you ask people to write to you about, you had some things to say about ambition, ambitious, the word ambition, which we associate with her in a not very positive way. What's the deal with this word ambition in Hillary Clinton?
You know, I have to say, this is one of these moments. We have this feature at the end of the program called What Were They Thinking? Which we use it to showcase some of the more bizarre things that people have said. For instance, we heard a couple of weeks, we asked viewers what they thought about Joe Biden talking about Barack Obama being clean and articulate and mainstream, and we were stormed with emails with people's opinions on that. And then this week, I happened to notice in doing some reading that there were one of the little noticed elements in the famous Maureen Dowd column with David Geffen, the Hollywood producer, trashing the Clintons, is that he was quoted as saying that, you know, she's really quite ambitious, or something to the effect of, and is there anyone more ambitious than Hillary Clinton? I thought, interesting. And then that same day, I was paging through the National Journal, which is a kind of an inside the Beltway, very excellent magazine of national affairs. And there was a quote from Mary Matlin, who's the Republican strategist, saying the question that was being posed was about whether there were people who were authentic anymore in public life, politicians. And she said, I think Hillary's authentic. She's an ambitious woman. I like ambitious women, which I thought was kind of a sly dig as well. So I asked viewers, so what do you think they mean when they say ambition? And the mail has been amazing. It's been almost evenly split. I'm completely guessing this, between people saying, well, it just shows you that Hillary will do anything to be elected, to people saying, aha, they're clearly trying to undercut her because she's a woman, and being a woman and being ambitious is somehow supposed to be a negative, whereas being a male and being ambitious is supposed to be a positive. People seldom say an ambitious man is a bad thing. They often say an ambitious woman is somehow a negative.
Yes, yeah, interesting. Now, I know you love politics. You've covered it for a long period of time, but can you imagine all the shows you're going to have to do between now and when the first primary takes place? This is a long haul, isn't
it? It's a long haul. This time in 1990, I covered Bill Clinton in 1992, and at this time we had never even heard of him. He didn't announce
until
October of 1991. So the idea that we're now in February and in full swing is kind of shocking. But, you know, my big take on it is I don't mind that it starts early. My fear is that it will end too soon, which is to say, because of all of this early debate, people will feel as if they've made up their minds or that the deal has been cut by the time it's even time for someone to cast their first votes in Iowa or New Hampshire or Nevada. And what I think that would be a loss. I think it would be a loss that before people vote, their conventional wisdom has taken such root that there's no room for voters to make their say. I'm not certain that's going to happen, but that's my fear, that would happen. I think it's okay to have the debates now to work out some of the silly little fights between campaign staffers now and even have people fall to the wayside who are not truly serious candidates now. What worries me is that we get to the first primaries where voters actually get to be heard, and the voters don't get to be heard.
Mm-hmm. We've heard so much. We'll go to the Democratic side in a moment, but we've heard so much about the Democrats. Let's talk about the Republicans. The Times had an interesting piece this weekend that conservative candidate is yet to be found. Tell me about that process and who's most favorable to conservatives right now, and if it makes any difference or if they're sort of out of the loop here.
It's very interesting because we all fight the last war, so we look at what's had the effect in previous campaigns and try to line it up with this one. So one of the rising factors in the past several cycles has been the rising of the religious conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we go back to them and try to figure out who is their candidate to see if that is an automatic base of support for any particular candidate. And what we're seeing is that at once all of them are running for that base, and that base turns out to not be as monolithic as we thought. Sam Brownback, the senator from Kansas, is trying to appeal to religious conservatives. He himself is one. Mitt Romney, the governor from former governor of Massachusetts, who is a Mormon, because of his Mormonism, is making some religious conservatives uncomfortable, but he is kind of, some people say, recast some of his views on abortion and other issues in order to appeal to them. John McCain is trying to appeal to that group, and they are deeply suspicious of him. Rudy Giuliani, who's in favor of abortion rights, or at least has been in the past, is now even appealing to them. So it's really interesting to watch it all shake out. Mike Huckabee, the governor from Arkansas, former governor.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anybody's going to be able to lay claim as a voting block to that group of voters anymore.
Interesting. And what about on the Democratic side? Has the deal already been cut, and it's Hillary?
No, not at all.
No.
I think that's the point I think is very interesting, and what we saw last week, this little dust-up between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, was really more about about positioning, and the fact that he has risen so quickly on the national scene after she has so meticulously laid out the groundwork means that, and her striking back at him so hard at this criticism from his supporter, tells you that there is great concern in the Clinton campaign that it is possible that her primacy, which is unchallenged, and certainly in the money-raising category and the name recognition category, will be challenged, and that there are enough people out there looking for an alternative that they are going to find a way to make sure that most voters don't see it as a credible alternative. So I don't think it's over at all. I also think that John Edwards is very much in
this.
Yes. And doesn't have any intention of stepping to the side. In fact, would love to waltz up the middle of these two guys take each other out.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how much money it's going to cost, Gwen?
I think it's astonishing. It's going to be a billion-dollar campaign. And if by the time the first quarter of fundraising is over in April, you haven't raised, I can't remember what the number is, but some sums of millions of dollars, people are going to look at you and say you're not serious. I mean, that's why Tom Vilsack, the governor from Iowa, just flat out said he wasn't running. In fact, we've had three governors who were said they were interested in running for president say drop out before the first dime was even spent, because Governor By, former Governor By, who of course is a senator from Indiana, former Governor Warner of Virginia, now governor, former Governor Vilsack. And it wasn't that long ago where being a former governor seemed to be the key, because that was, you had executive experience, and we had Governor Bush, and we had Governor Clinton, Governor Carter. But now we have three governors falling by the wayside, and that tells you something about fundraising.
Gwen Ifill, we're so happy to have her with us this hour, and we're welcoming phone calls. Feel free to talk about politics, talk about Hillary, Obama, Edwards, McCain, Giuliani, the politics, Iraq, the Libby trial. We can talk about that as well. There's so much here, because she covers this as moderator and managing editor of Washington Week and senior correspondent for the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. She's been a journalist, a distinguished journalist, for a long period of time. We can also talk about the quality of journalism. She talks about her first love being newspapers, but public broadcasting, and I think she's so right about this, providing the best of both worlds, combining the depth of newspapering with the immediate impact of broadcast television. Here's our phone number. Join this conversation, 800-486-8655. Her question was interesting. When we associate the word ambitious with Hillary Clinton, she talked about that. What were they thinking in the last part of Washington Week over the weekend? What do you think about that? Is it sort of like the equivalent of articulate African-American ambitious woman? Similarity here. Join us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. Our lines are open for Gwen Ifill, and we'd love to have you join the conversation. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Gwen Ifill is our guest. Our number is 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. And we start our calls, Gwen, with Ron from Madison. Hi, Ron.
Thank you. Since the Oscars were last night, I guess I'll repeat myself. Actors and politicians are professional liars, and that's my basis for starting on thinking of things. I'm most concerned right now about the recent lies from the Bush regime. How soon will Bush and or Olmert attack Iran? Will it just be aerial bombardment and cruise missiles from ships, or do they plan to invade? Will they use nuclear weapons? These are the big issues of the day, much bigger than the election next year, because it's very likely that Bush or Olmert will start a war with Iran this year, and it will drastically reduce the world's supply of petroleum.
Gwen,
what do you base that conclusion on? I love people who ask me questions when they've already reached their conclusions. My
job is to ask the
questions and then try to find the conclusions. I haven't seen. No, you don't believe what George W. Bush has to say. And if you don't believe anything he has to say, or anything that the administration has said, or anything that Olmert has said, or that the Secretary of the Pentagon has said for the umpteenth time, to use his words, that there is no plan currently on the books to launch an attack against Iran, I'm not sure how I can dissuade you of that. So I'm not sure your question is a genuine one.
Do you believe they're telling the truth when they say they're not preparing to attack Iran?
I believe I can only make a can gauge an answer that's given to me by asking it again and again and paying attention to the nuances in the answers. I do not, like you, assume that everyone is lying. If I did, I probably wouldn't go to the movies, and I certainly wouldn't cover politics. I assume that there is some truth, or at least some relative truth, at the root of it. I do believe, based on everything I've seen, and I have no evidence, unless you have some, to the contrary, that there is currently on the books a plan to attack Iran, if only because, for practical reasons, which is that the United States military is stretched so thin in so many ways with the enterprise in Afghanistan and in Iraq. I don't know that it makes practical sense at this point, even if that was their ideological intent.
Thanks very much for the call, Ron. Let's go to Barbara from Waupaca next. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. My question for Gwen Ifill, first of all, I would like to say I really appreciate Washington Week in Review. and I watch it as often as I can.
Thank you.
What do you see as the individual voters or citizens, what can we do to encourage the candidates in the upcoming election to really talk about issues and not to simply, you know, to say positively what they would do rather than focus on negative of what the opponent should not do? I have this little idea that possibly if we could somehow get the televisions and radios, whatever, wherever they put advertising, to charge double. If you're going to say something negative, it's clear if you're saying something negative. But we charge those people double. And the person who's saying something positive about what they would do and talking about issues, could we charge them a different rate?
That's a great idea. I love to think. I think that a lot of these stations are making so much money, whether these ads are negative or positive, that the business imperative might make it unlikely that they'd give anybody a break. But I do like the idea of trying to cut down. I mean, everywhere I travel, that's the one constant I get from people, which is they get so tired of the attacks and counterattacks. I think that these candidates, I heard Hillary Clinton say something, I think it was in Iowa, and I saw a quote of the weekend where she basically said, listen, our job is to strike back as fast as we're hit. And the lesson that's been learned from so many previous campaigns is you can't let an attack or what you perceive to be an attack go unanswered. And then that ends up, you're right, obliterating a lot of the good commentary. I mean, on her campaign trail, Hillary Clinton has been talking about health care. She has been talking about what she'd do in Iraq. She has been talking about employment issues. But that gets obliterated by the backing and the poor thing. I admit that we're guilty. We in the media are guilty of blowing that up. But I like the idea of coming up with anything that you could come up with that would at least draw more attention to what these folks really are about and what kind of presence they would be rather than who they wouldn't be.
Gwen Ifill is our guest. May I remind you, too, please, because I need to, that we are in a pledge drive right now, and we sure do welcome your support. We need your support, as a matter of fact. 800-383-9772 for your pledge this hour, or go to our website at WPR.org. Marianne from Marshfield is next. Hi, Marianne.
Hi. I'd just like to say about Hillary, she does have ambition. It sticks out on her, but I think her ambition is to make a difference in a good way in our country. I think she's been built since she was probably a teenager to do this. And in the past, you can look at her pictures. She didn't look very nice at all because I feel she was concentrating on problem solving, not like look at me type of person. And so that's why I'm backing her.
I do think what you're saying is interesting, which is why I asked this question, which I think that the word ambition really rings differently to different people in the same way that the word articulate did. A lot of people wrote me saying they thought it was a compliment to say that Barack Obama was articulate, even though a lot of African Americans said, well, why wouldn't a Harvard Law student be articulate?
There's a good point.
And it's the same thing with ambition. Ambition ought to be, if you're running for president, why wouldn't you be ambitious? But they apply it in a specific way. Some people apply it in a specific way. Negative.
Yeah. Let's spend a few more minutes on Barack, because I think he's quite a phenomena this go around. He hasn't been in the Senate very long. He's got this incredible life story. He is a beautiful speaker. He's a pleasure to listen to, and he's just wowing him, as you know, Gwen, wherever he goes. He drew huge crowds. What's it all about, Alfie?
Well, you know, it's something I'm trying to get to the bottom of, because I have to say, the times I've seen him in crowds speak, I've been at a lot of campaign moments where I've seen lightning in a bottle, where people get excited about someone for the first time, and then it fades. Mm-hmm. And so the bad news is being a supernova is that you can fade very quickly. With him, there seems to be something different, but I can't put my finger on precisely what it is. I think partly that the atmosphere this year, because of the depression and the unhappiness about the war, and about this idea that a lot of Americans have that it's hopeless, that they don't get a say. They look at him and they say, maybe I'd have a say. Maybe this is different. Maybe I can. And because of the Internet, people can communicate directly with each other in a way that doesn't require a candidate to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just guessing and feeling my way, but I think that's part of what's going on there. It's not just, oh, he's got a cute smile. It's more than that, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a story. It's just quite a story.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Marianne, for the call. We have a couple lines open for Gwen Ifill in a few more minutes with her at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Chuck is our next caller. Hi, Chuck.
How are you doing?
Fine, Chuck. How are you?
Okay. I've got a question for you that I've been waiting for the news media to pick up on. The VA, where they've been putting these poor recuperating soldiers, that building, I think most of us would agree, whether you're looking at the outside or the inside, really ought to have been tore down. Mm-hmm. But my question is, does the government own this facility, or I'm talking about this old motel, or are they leasing it? And if they're leasing it, from who and how much money are they paying for it?
You know, it's funny that you just asked that question. I have seen nothing in any of the stories which indicate anything other than these are government buildings. I know physically where the building is, and it is, you're right, a former hotel across the street from Walter Reed. But I don't know that any of these articles have drawn the line about exactly when the lease changed hands, or if it changed hands, or if someone else is benefiting from it. I think we're proceeding on the assumption that this is government-owned property.
Hmm. Thanks very much for the call. Dan from Franksville is next. Hi, Dan.
I'm going to take on right where that one guy left off. I was worried about independent media in this country, and I think there's huge sections of the country that don't have independent media because the story about Ralph Reed or whatever, that's hospital.
Walter Reed, yeah.
Yeah, Walter Reed. It's been thoroughly looked at. 2 years ago, this story came out, and Democracy Now! Is thoroughly covered. You know, just that because of, not too much independent media.
Questions. Oh, is that true, Gwen? I
to me.
Isn't that interesting that it was done by other media before the Post, huh?
I'd like to see the article.
Right.
Oh, you can watch the video. You can archive it off the Democracy Now!, but it was the whole thing was thoroughly covered.
A couple years ago?
Yeah, a couple years ago. I mean, yeah, Walter Reed, yeah. Hmm. I remember listening to it. It did a couple days on it. But as far as the stuff in Iran over there, they got battleships over there, and they got plenty of air power to go on there and destroy it. They would never go in with troops and stuff. It wouldn't work. It doesn't work. It's not working in Iraq. But as far as bombing the living hell out of it and sending them back 50 years, they'd do it.
All right, Jan, thanks for the call. Let's go to John from Madison next. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, John, how are you?
Doing well. Gwen, you're a wonderful leader in Washington Week. Look forward to it as much as I can see it on Friday evening.
Thanks so much.
My question, do you think the Americans are, and why this Barack Obama craziness, I guess, in terms of support, comes about because I think Americans are looking for the rebirth of a true statesman leader, and he gives us the best chance for this, and we're kind of sick of the strong-arm presidency we've had for the last 8 years, and he's just a breath of fresh air in terms of looking at issues in a negotiated, common-sense way.
I would argue that people are always, in every single election, looking for something fresh. They're looking for a fresh breath of air. I think that it's hard to remember now that Gary Hart was considered a fresh breath of air for a long time, was very exciting to a lot of voters. Howard Dean was very exciting to a lot of voters. They thought he was going to bring in the truth. The hunger, I think, among American voters for something authentic and new and fresh, who seems to be listening to them, never wanes. The only question is how quick the new news seems to become old. I don't know. I do think that you're right, that that's what folks are looking for. I just don't think it's a new thing. I don't think it's because of this administration. I think it's what folks are always looking for.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call. Can we just have a few moments, Gwen, on you've been in journalism for quite some time now, and I'm interested in your association with some of the best newspapers in the country, your association with public television. What do you make, and this is terribly general, but take it wherever you want, of the quality, where people go to get stories that are really well-researched? Have we become a nation of people who are more entertained by trash television, trash long cable shows on things that are meaningless, or are we... Or are we pretty sophisticated in our taste? Are we, because all this is available to us, do we know more?
I choose D, all of the above, and this is why. When I was growing up, there, as this is maybe true for you as well, even though you may be younger than I am, there just were so many, only so many choices of where to get information from. Basically, you watch the news on three different channels, or you read your morning paper or mm-hmm. your hometown paper, and that was about it. Now there are so many places to go for information that even though some of that information is infotainment, I mean, if you want to know every little detail about Brittany and Anna Nicole, Lord knows you can get that at a finger stroke, a keystroke. But also, if you want to know all you want to know about what's happening to the troops when they come back, like the gentleman who says he heard this story mm-hmm. before, if you want to know all you want to know about a subject which otherwise isn't, about Darfur, that otherwise isn't getting mainstream coverage, the difference between what used to happen when I was growing up and now is that you have to go and search it out. It's not going to be handed to you in a platter anymore. I think it's a lot of people bemoan the 24-hour so-called news networks because they say all they do is run 24 hours of Britney, you right. know, Lindsay Lohan. I think it's okay that they do that as long as there's someplace else to go for the rest of the information. It mm-hmm. means that you have to go search it out. You have to search it out on public broadcasting. You have to search it out on the internet. You have to search it out on Democracy Now or any other, or Bill O'Reilly or whatever your taste is. You mm-hmm. have to find other ways of getting your information. So I think generally it's better than it ever was because there's more information out there to be gotten. It's just a little harder. You have to be more focused about searching it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm. What about as a broadcaster, as a journalist? I find that because there is so much information out there now, our task seems to be even larger. You can just, we're swamped with information. It's somehow you feel like you have to read more and more and more and more.
Well, you do. And the truth is we have a much higher responsibility to make sure that what we're reading, what we're disseminating is correct. And that's the real challenge for me. There are a lot of people out there who blog for a living, and some of them are responsible journalists who double check and triple check the information, and some of them are people who are just telling it what they think or what they heard. And you have to be able to make the distinction between mm-hmm. that kind, the good information that actually is rooted in something, which is why I'm more likely to assign credibility to a blogger who has a mainstream media credentials than someone who's just popping off because they were mad that day and they couldn't get anyone to answer their phone call to the local call-in. which is perfectly fine, but you have to understand where the information's coming from and treat it accordingly.
Let's go to Bonnie from Madison. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Kathleen. Well, I'd like to ask Gwen if either on her program, Washington Week in Review, or the Lair News Hour, if they ever have any reporters on from far-left magazines like The Progressive, The Nation, or Mother Jones, because someone told me they did, but I don't see any. And it seems like you do have corresponding journalists from the far-right publications like The Weekly Standard.
Let's separate out what we're talking about, because on the News Hour with Jim Lehrer, we do have guests on who debate issues, points of view, and we do have guests on from magazines like The Nation on occasion or from The Weekly Standard. You're correct. On Washington Week, we have beat reporters who are mostly down the middle. We're not doing people who have opinion. We're just saying people who are providing you analysis of what happened that week. I draw a pretty bright line between people who come to you with an opinion and people who come to you saying, this is what this means. On the News Hour, we ourselves are straight-ahead reporters, but sometimes in order to engender both sides or three sides or five sides of a debate, we will invite people from all kinds of points of view, not necessarily just media points of view. So that's the distinction which I draw between the kinds of reporters. You're right, you won't see reporters in general from ideological publications in Washington Week, but you may see them even though sparingly because I think people want to hear from experts as much as from reporters on the News Hour.
Right. Thanks for your call, Bonnie. Let's go next to Joan from Beaver Dam. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. Very interesting thought. I have several questions. Will you be able to take them?
Why don't you start with one? Start with your best one.
All right. The best one is, how does Bush rate, actually? How can a man like him expect to hold a high office when he had such a dark past?
All right, well, let's talk about just public reaction to this presidency, Gwen. I'm trying to figure out some way to phrase this. His popularity has been going downhill for the past couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, and it's an all-time low right now. I think that Americans are pretty smart, actually, and even if you may not have agreed with the outcome of the last couple of elections, in the end, that's the way our democracy is set up, the way it worked out. But after a time, people may give you the benefit of the doubt, but then they want to see some action, and it is clear that Americans who did overwhelmingly support the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan for a long time and gave the benefit of the doubt to this administration for a long time have changed their minds. The last election demonstrated that. So it's not really so much about his dark past or about it's about the kinds of responsibility that Americans hold for what their leaders will promise and what they will execute. And you can see that the disillusionment is growing most tellingly, not among the people who never liked George Bush, because that's expected, but among the people who really had high hopes for him and are now quite disappointed.
Yeah. Gwen Ifill, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Gwen Ifill, our guest, and our time is up with her. We do want to thank her. She's moderator and managing editor of Washington Week, senior correspondent for the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, and has a long, wonderful newspaper career behind her as well. Gwen, thank you so much for being with us and for all the work you do. You're so solid and smart, and I like the shows.
Thank you, Kathleen. This was a lot of fun.
Good. Glad you had a good time. Gwen Ifill, our guest, and if she said that, that means we can call her again. Come on back, Gwen. We're in a pledge drive right now, and we do want to tell you that it's important for us to be able to continue to bring you these kinds of conversations, and that means it's important for you to pledge your support to us. Our number is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or our website, WPR.org. Rhonda Fanning, producer of this program. She was excited about having Gwen on. I know. She's like, Gwen Ifill's going to be on. Yeah, she is. Thanks for joining us, Rhonda. Bill Estes is also here. Hi, Bill.
Good morning again.
Manager here in Milwaukee. And so we just ask you to call and pledge because of this kind of programming, and we have this deal. There's certain kinds of shows that you've listened to. Well, you tell them, Rhonda.
Good morning. I want to give the phone number out first. It's 800-383-9772, or you can go online and pledge at WPR.org. But for this hour, what Kathleen just mentioned, you for a pledge of $100 or more, you're going to receive a top 10 list of Kathleen's shows. And these are shows that listeners have downloaded from our website. We have the MP3. We have the download option there to download it into an MP3 player into your iPod. You can put them there. Yeah, take Kathleen on the road. Take her to the gym with you. Take her on a walk.
I want to go sailing.
Well, anyone with a sailboat, please take Kathleen sailing. So you'll get a list of these shows that listeners have downloaded, the top 10 of Kathleen shows. But you're also going to get, and what I think is really cool, a coupon for the radio store to request a CD copy of one of Kathleen's shows. It can be a show that aired 2 months ago. It can be a show that's on that top 10 list.
Yep.
It can be a show that you're going to hear in 2 weeks' time.
Great.
So call now, 800-383-9772. Or log on to WPR.org.
800-383-9772. You hear Kathleen and our other hosts at the end of each hour say, well, if you'd like to purchase a CD copy of this program, call the radio store. Well, this is your chance to get a free copy from the radio store, again, of any Kathleen Dunn show we've ever broadcast anytime. They're all available there, and you're going to get a list of the top 10 programs, the most requested and most downloaded programs of Kathleen Dunn's in her recent programs. You can pick and choose from that list or pick one of your own, but this is a great way to take Kathleen sailing with you or pass a CD copy on to one of your favorite friends. Well, how do you do that? Well, you go to your phone and pledge support to Wisconsin Public Radio and become a member. 800-383-9772, and we have a special gift for you. Just tell one of our volunteers you want that list and pledge at the $100 or more level.
And some of the shows that we have had on, I've hated to have the hour end. I would like to hear them again, actually, because I've already heard them once, obviously, all of them, because here I am doing the shows. But there are, every now and then, more frequently than you would imagine, we get some guests who are just so profound that you want to hear their words again. And we've had a lot of those kinds of shows, timeless kinds of shows.
Right.
So I think it's a pretty It's a pretty, you know, technologically advanced and with it an interesting thing to be giving people.
And we all like discount coupons, don't we?
Exactly. You got a coupon here. Here's the number. Please call and pledge this hour. And we do have a goal of $6,000. The number for pledging is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or WPR.org.
Also on WPR.org. If you notice the top 10 downloads, you can view that list online, or that's where you can go to actually download if you're a member. And if you pledge this hour at $100 or more, you will become a member and be able, and get that service to download any of the shows. And then, like Kathleen said, a lot of the shows of Kathleen's are timeless. You can listen to them over and over again. But some are kind of capturing a moment in time, and those would be nice to listen to again as well. Mm-hmm. So call now at 800-383-9772.
But do it in the next 12 or 13 minutes, because this thank you gift will end when we come to the top of the hour news break. Wisconsin Public Radio spends a little bit of time each year, about three or four times a year, directly talking with you, the listeners, to try to convince you to become a part of the financial picture of Wisconsin Public Radio. 31% of Wisconsin Public Radio's total revenues come from listeners just like you. And we could not have this service of this quality without you calling in and pledging your support. Pledge Drive started last week, will end in a few more days, but we need to hear from you right now. Pledge your support. If you appreciate the programming here on Wisconsin Public Radio, consider a gift of $10 a month or $20 a month or $5 a month. You decide the amount. Go to your phone right now. Talk to one of our volunteers, and you'll become a member. 800-383-9772 is the number, and be sure to ask for that special coupon from Kathleen Dunn.
And think about the journalists we've had on the air just even in the last week, to say nothing of the last 14 years that I've been here. Gwen Ifill. You had a chance this hour to speak with Gwen Ifill, who is a highly respected journalist in this country. Many of you watch Washington Week frequently, or certainly the News Hour with Jim Lehrer is maybe a regular on your television viewing for the day. Gwen, our guest, Rhonda, gets terrific guests for us. Sandra Van Oker, who was on last week.
Right.
Yeah, he was terrific. I mean, there's a guy who's smart and who's covered so many and remembers everything. He was wonderful. John Nichols, who was with us just a little while ago, talking about Molly Ivins.
Another great
person
who's been on your show as well.
Exactly, Molly Ivins, who's been on the show. I mean, we've had some really top-notch journalists with us. And it's worth a pledge. It's just worth a pledge. And it's not just worth it. It's important that you pledge for these kinds of conversations. So call, please. Our phones are terribly quiet, and we just don't want that to happen. So here's the number, 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or WPR.org.
And you'll get one of these great gifts. I mean, it's a unique thing, the list of your top downloaded shows, plus that coupon for redeemable for any one of your shows. CD will be sent to you. You just call up the radio store, say that you have a coupon, and they will put a CD of one of Kathleen's show in the mail immediately to you. I think Gwen mentioned something about the type of public broadcasting, public radio. It's you get information that's actually rooted in something. Hour-long, in-depth conversations. Mm-hmm. You get it on her show. You get it here each and every day, Wisconsin Public Radio, 800-383-9772. Let's get the phones ringing. We got
really,
they're
so quiet.
We have 10 minutes to go, 800-383-9772. Each break that we have has a goal. This particular one has a goal of $6,000. And we have a goal for each break because slow and steady through each hour of programming, we're going to make that goal for the entire pledge drive. So these goals per hour are very important to us. Mm-hmm. And if you want to become a member, you can do it now at 800-383-9772. And you're going to go away knowing you're done your part, and you've helped contribute to the quality of this service. Think back at the number of hours that you've heard Kathleen Dunn spending hour after hour after hour, in-depth conversation with newsmakers and politicians and authors, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. If you appreciate what Wisconsin Public Radio brings you and your family and your state every single day, help pay for that service by becoming a member. 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
800-383-9772 or WPR.org. For those of you who pledge at $100, which is, you know, a very generous pledge, then we're going to give you the top 10 shows that have been downloaded, and we'll get, then you can select, get a certificate for a CD for any show that we've done or any show that we will do. And I must say that we've just had some remarkable conversations with all kinds of people, be they politicians, be they poets, be they visionaries. We've just had some conversations that you may want to hear again and again, or listen and pass it along to somebody else. So it's kind of, it's a neat gift, a way to say thank you. Our phones are a little quiet right now, so we'd like to hear the phones ring, okay? 800-383-9772 is the number. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
You're good at this, Rhonda. Make the phones ring.
Righto, Rhonda.
please call in. Bringing you shows with not only newsmakers, but the people who report on those people. A couple of people have called in already this hour. We want to thank them. Kelly in Madison says that she just loves public radio. It's the one of the very few things left in our country that builds up awareness. That's what we're trying to do, create awareness, bringing you stories that you might have missed otherwise.
Right.
So please call in now and tell us that you support this kind of radio. 800-383-9772. Call in. $100 or more is going to get you it's going to make you feel good, and you're also going to get a coupon, and those always make people feel good for one of Kathleen's shows.
Yeah, and I guarantee that that coupon will come in handy probably in the next week or next month, because, you know, we've all had these, what public radio calls a driveway moment, where you're driving home or you're heading to the mall or you're dropping the kids off at school, and you are so intensely involved in a Wisconsin public radio conversation that you sit in your car and you wait for the conversation to end. Now, I can count numerous times that I thought, I got to hear the end of this, and I get out of my car, run into the house, and by the time I get to the living room, I've completely forgot that I was going to do that. Well, here's your chance. Any one of your interrupted driveway moments can be captured by this coupon. It's good at the $100 level. Go to 800-383-9772 and keep that coupon in the visor of your car. Next time you have to miss the last 10 or 15 or 20 minutes of a Kathleen Dunn show, redeem that in our radio store for a free CD of one of Kathleen's shows.
A number again is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or WPR.org. We'd sure like to hear some phones going here. And we think that that's worth a pledge. At $100, you get a redeemable CD, but some of you will just want to pledge because you know that it's the right thing for you to do, and that we want to, we fulfilling our end of the bargain of bringing you the best possible programming. We have wonderful guests and are on top of issues, and I think are ahead of some issues, actually. It's amazing to me, Rhonda, when I'll frequently come to you and say, we did that issue already, and here it is on national news several days later.
Breaking news.
Yeah. But, you know, just call. Make us feel better. Have to budge us off, move us off where we are right now. We're kind of stuck here.
And what's even better, at Wisconsin Public Radio, Kathleen and Rhonda often beat some of the national cable shows or some of the other radio shows. But here on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get to hear a full uninterrupted hour of conversation with a newsmaker or an author, a politician, someone from one of the national think tanks. On the national cable shows, for instance, you may hear from Sander Van Oker or some of the other folks that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, and you're going to hear all of, maybe a minute or two of their ideas, and then they're on to another topic. Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we have a national reputation of bringing you hour-long, in-depth conversations with some of the greatest minds in Wisconsin and across the United States. Help pay for that service now and help support your favorite radio show. 800-383-9772.
And if you call within the next 5 minutes, you're going to receive that list of Kathleen's top 10 shows, and you're also going to get a certificate from the radio store for a free show. And maybe you already have one in mind that you were considering going to order anyway. Maybe you're thinking back, you know, I'd really like the show when Kathleen talked to Alice Walker or Sander Van Oker or Jimmy Carter. Maybe you want a copy of that show. But maybe you can't remember the day. We have excellent staff members at Listener Services. If you just call up and, you know, say, oh, I think it was a couple weeks ago. I can't remember.
Or two months ago.
Right. They are great at tracking that information down, and Listener Services will get that information to the radio store and get you your CD. So call now. $100 or more. We have a couple minutes left. We are far from our goal. 800-383-9772. Please call.
800-383-9772. There go some phones. You did it, Rhonda. Or WPR.org. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org. $100, you'll be able to get one of your favorite shows or the favorite show that you don't even know is going to be your favorite show because we haven't done it yet.
Right. But keep listening.
Exactly. We'll keep you listening. So pledge at that level or pledge more. Pledge whatever you can. We appreciate all of your pledges. Know that we need you. We need to have you pledge to us, okay? 800-383-9772 or WPR.org is the number.
And as I mentioned before, 31% of our total revenue comes from individuals just like you who've made that decision. They realize the value of Wisconsin Public Radio. They've called 800-383-9772 and they've joined the 42 or 43,000 people who are current members of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is kind of a two-way street at Wisconsin Public Radio. As Kathleen said earlier, she and the other hosts have done their part. They brought you all of these great conversations through the month and through the year, and now it's your turn to make a commitment and do your part to support this great radio service. 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
Rhonda, make them call.
Right. Public radio is a partnership. We are committed to providing you with programming that challenges, informs, and engages you. But in return, we come on air once in a while and ask for your support. So please provide us, you know, with as little as much as you can pledge, as long as you keep tuned in. Keep this partnership going. 800-383-9772
That's
or
right.
Log on to WPR.org.
There's no minimum. There's no maximum. Maybe $10 a month or $20 a month or $1 a day is just right for you and your family. You choose the amount, but go to your phone right now and support Kathleen Dunn and this programming service. 800-383-9772.
Thanks so much, Bill Estes, manager here in Milwaukee, Rhonda Fanning, terrific producer for this program. Thank you. And thanks for all of your pledges this morning. They are important to us. They're extremely important. Just to remember that you can pledge to this show during the next 5 minutes, 800-383-9772 or WPR.org. All right, there go some phones.
Thank you
very much. Muchas gracias. Appreciate it, everybody. Thanks to Rhonda for producing this program and to Susie Seidelman for on-air production here in our studios. And thanks for all of your calls. This is the Ideas Network.